Direct from the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole.
That was a lot of manipulation there. So welcome back to the podcast.
So loud.
How's everybody doing? Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome
What's
back
up?
On NPR.
So I was looking for a present for my brother-in-law.
Yes,
and
welcome.
We were at Nordstrom Rack.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
There was a shirt, originally $190,
yeah,
on sale for $60, mm-hmm, a Steve McQueen shirt.
Oh, did
I
you buy
lost
it?
Lost my shirt. It's a large. He's not a large. So I went to Patrick. Patrick said no.
I didn't say no. I said do what you
Please
want.
Please show this to
I said
Mario.
If you
so
want
it's a
it,
t-shirt. A it's a button-up long sleeve that has a bunch of Steve McQueen
Oh my God.
On it.
It's literally
I want it so bad.
I have a shirt in my closet I keep forgetting to bring for you to see. They used to sell it at Target. Mm-hmm. And it's a really cool looking shirt because it's brown. It's a brown shirt. It's got a red circle in it. And in the circle, it's Clint Eastwood. And
yes.
It just says, The Good.
Yeah. I love it.
I don't think Target sells it anymore, but it was
the good.
It was the good.
He is the good.
I love when they introduce the ugly. The ugly. I'm like, oh, it's so sad.
So great.
Still a great movie.
Poor guys.
But Steve McQueen.
Let's watch it again.
Steve McQueen. I like that you're warming up slowly to Steve McQueen.
I am, because I didn't like him in the start.
You didn't like him in which one? In Hell is for Heroes?
That's the first one we saw.
Yeah, just like, because I've read all the stuff that happened in the background and how he wanted to have more parts, he wanted more lines, he wanted to seem cooler. And then in The Great Escape, he wanted to wear a different shirt because the other guy was wearing the white sweater that looked better on him, so that he wanted that sweater. That just makes me feel like he's just a little immature.
He was very much concerned with how many lines he would have, like what. So let me tell you this, we're not going to get to it. We might, for fun. But in the 70s, early 70s disaster movie, The Towering Inferno, he and Paul Newman, and I don't know if it was because they both agreed to it to do it or Steve McQueen insisted on it, they had to count so that they had the exact same number of lines.
Oh, my God.
And equal billing. So, you know, in some movies, you know, they say like top billing. So, mm-hmm, one person gets their name ahead. If you in the opening credits, they're evenly evenly matched, so that one isn't above the other. Because
that's enough.
At that time, Steve McQueen was still a huge star, but so was Paul Newman. So I think it was on Steve McQueen's insistence, from what I understand.
Yeah. See, how do you? It makes it really hard for me to like him, but watching The Great Escape, I was like, okay, I kind of like this guy. And then Magnificent Seven,
yeah,
like, okay, I really like Steve McQueen.
He's charming. I would suggest you watch Bullet, The Getaway, which is directed by the same guy that directed The Wild Bunch, and maybe The Thomas Crown Affair for like 60s. Like, he had that persona of being the cool guy. So
yeah, but you just think he's such a dick.
Like, yeah.
Like, I don't want to work with that guy. He's a dick.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
those are the guys that, you know. You
it just sucks because he's growing on me. Whoever's writing for him is just doing a really good
he
job.
He had a persona. He had that persona. It's just like, you know, the opposite way. Speaking of a different kind of persona. But like William Shatner is the rumors are he's insanely difficult, mm-hmm, to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And super cheeseball, too, which just makes it more fun. But it's also like, well, it's sad that you kind of think that you hope that he's in on the joke. But he really takes himself seriously.
He's probably not,
you know. Mm. So, but we'll talk about more of that when we get to Airplane. Because there were some actors that weren't necessarily in on the joke. Or they didn't understand that they were the joke.
Yeah, but if it was a Clint Eastwood shirt, I would have bought it immediately.
I was cracking up because for some reason, when Don Rickles died, I was going through a bunch of clips in my YouTube channel. So I just put YouTube on another device, so it came up with a bunch of my old playlists that I forgot. And there was one where he was roasting Martin Scorsese, and Don Rickles was in Casino. And there was all these other directors there honoring Martin Scorsese. And Don Rickles goes, I can't believe this. And I'm like, you know, Robert De Niro, all these other people that have worked for Scorsese in the room. And Don Rickles goes, I can't believe this. Me and Clint Eastwood are the biggest names here. And then they showed a shot of Clint Eastwood. And then Don Rickles said, well, Clint Eastwood's glad because his name got mentioned. I was like, oh, so good. But only Don Rickles could get away with something like that.
Damn.
So, guys, it's time. We don't really. This is an off week. You know, the Digital Movie Club has kind of taken over the focus of the show for the last. It's
taken over our life.
But, and so I decided to do a new old segment. We used to do these segments before, and then we would always have the guests recommend stuff, but we haven't had guests in a while, so we changed it into a segment called What Have You Done? That was the name, and I forgot it last time we did it. So this is just a way for us to catch up and see if there's anything we can recommend. See what we're up to these days. What are we watching? What are we playing? What are we seeing? What are we doing? Who would like to go first? What have you done, Justine?
Wait. I have to look it up because I have to remember the names.
Oh.
Plus, you make me feel like I'm a not dog and I left poop somewhere.
Jake, what have you done?
I've been actually playing a lot of video games.
Let's talk
recently.
About it.
I've been playing two right now. There's Rocket League
and
Vampire. Which I finally gotten to.
Isn't Rocket League just the car one where you hit the ball back and forth?
Rocket League is essentially playing soccer, but with cars, yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that's what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They had that game out like back in the early 2000s, but it was Hot Wheels, and it was like an online Flash Player game where you played multiplayer with a couple people. Same game.
Was it really? I mean, it didn't take off until...
Didn't take off, but it was Hot Wheels. I remember that.
No, Rocket League is a ton of fun. Really hard to get... Really hard to kind of get a grasp of, though.
Really? I know people that were obsessed with it.
You drive into the ball, it goes forwards.
But there's a lot more than that. Your car, you have two basically like jumps that you can do with your car. You can rotate your car on all axes. You have a boost that you can collect. They're like little nodes that are scattered throughout the field that you can collect boost. And
so it's Twisted Metal without the guns?
Kind of, maybe.
Is it still free?
No.
It was never. Was it free?
It was never free.
That's the Hot Wheels one that was free.
Uh-huh. But yeah, no, you can jump up, you can boost up into the air, depending on your orientation of your car, it will hit the ball in
so what are you, direction. Are you a forward? Are you a goalie? What's your position?
I'm goalie.
You are?
In this one, unless you play with like three people, you don't really have like a set position.
Well, that's
I tend to play
Why
farther
aren't you playing
back,
towards
though.
Your skill strength?
People are stupid.
You should have an assigned role. What's
people
wrong
are
with
stupid.
This?
It's like, oh my God, no, I gotta get no. the ball. And so they just lunge forward and as soon as they someone hits the ball back on your side of the field.
I don't like this.
No one's there. You basically just lose a point.
Get back on D. It's like the Lakers of the old days. They wouldn't get on D.
You gotta be ready to get back on D.
Get back on D.
Get back on that D.
You gotta get on that D.
Yes. Exactly.
It's all about the big D.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing Vampire.
What is Vampire?
Vampire is a game where you are a doctor recently turned vampire in World War I London.
Whoa.
It just came out like a year ago or something like that. It's been out for a while.
I think it was either early this year. I think it was early this year. I want to say like May, June.
And just so you know.
It hasn't been out that long, maybe a few months.
Just to point out.
4 or 5 months.
What have you done doesn't necessarily mean it's new. It doesn't have to be brand new. It's just, we're just asking what you've been doing lately. Yeah. Maybe nobody's heard of Vampire.
I know. Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying I thought it came out earlier.
Is it cool?
Really cool. It's really, really dark. I love games that have sort of this moral ambiguity with a lot of characters. Like, well, you're not, like, they're either good guys who are doing bad things for... Like, they think they're right reasons, or there are perceivable bad guys who are doing something for a good intention kind of thing. So it's a lot of that with a lot of the characters. And there's also a Spanish flu going on.
What?
So you're basically this doctor who's trying to figure out what happened to him while trying to tackle the Spanish flu, which is, like, destroying London. London's in ruins, and there's these vampire-like creatures who are wandering around. There are vampire hunters who are trying to kill you at every turn.
I love it.
It's good. And combat kind of plays like Dark Souls, if you've ever played Dark Souls. All
right.
Similar combat as you level up. You get points through or you get XP through completing missions and killing enemies. But it's really small in comparison to actually feeding on the citizens. That's where you get a large chunk of XP.
So you're definitely a vampire in this one.
Yes. All right. And so it's kind of you coming to terms well with, oh, do I want to start, you know, killing citizens so I can get more XP and become stronger, or do you want to try and play, you know, try to play like a good vampire,
like you're trying to fight it,
trying to fight your urges, but you're also, it's combat's going to be a lot harder.
Oh, okay. Justine so cool. left the room for a minute. I hope she's okay.
And citizens
she had
can
to toot
had a toot had a rooty toot toot
she didn't want to do it while we're all in the room
and
It was very courteous.
Yeah, very courteous.
My that parts game, are though. Like flowers.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would guess like some kind of Hawaiian flower.
Yeah.
No.
It's all hibiscus. Yeah. My hibiscus part.
That game, when it first like showed the previews and everything, looks fantastic. Like mm-hmm. It looks like a lot of fun. It's almost like Jack the Ripper-esque, mm-hmm. kind of, which was really cool.
Yeah. If you like a more story-driven game, because the combat is there, but it's not the sole focus of the game. It feels like it's good, but it feels like it was kind of tacked on just to add a little bit more playability. But it's you're mainly talking with citizens, getting to know them. As you start to get to know the citizens more,
you kill
them. They give you more XP when you feed on them.
Whoa!
But when you feed on the citizens, they could potentially be a plot point later. So that could change the outcome of your story,
depending on
who you feed on and what you choose to do in like the main story missions.
So if you eat your mom, like, you know, it might affect your story
a little bit.
But, you know, hey, you'd level up.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Justine, you have a question? What's going on? You're looking outside. Is everything okay?
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Are you trying to remember the name of a comic you read?
Yeah.
She's ridiculous.
I was just going to tell Renee that I found it. I'm really happy I found it.
What did you get?
Oh, it was the name of the one that you were trying to look for, right?
Yeah.
Last week.
No.
Batman. Sorry. I saw an opportunity and I took it.
I was thinking it, but good for you for jumping on it.
Also, music in this game is fantastic. If you like really somber piano with like a really like dark eerie cello.
Oh, those are my favorite.
That's a good majority of the music.
You want to be depressed.
Yeah.
I listen to and I go
or
to
like
work.
If you remember the song from Game of Thrones, Reigns of Castamere?
Yes.
That really kind of somber.
It's really upbeat compared to what you hear in this game.
No, that's kind of the same feel that the soundtrack has.
Is it a little something? Wait, what happened? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just like that.
Yeah, I screwed that up. Thanks, Ad.
Just like that.
There you go.
I did not think you were going to play this song. I thought it was going to be the dark one.
It's as dark as it gets.
This is right.
Dark night.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think? Everybody's pumped up about this. Everybody's excited because everybody was mad that they cast Maggie Gyllenhaal's brother. Who's playing?
Jake?
No, it's not him. Who's playing the Joker now?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix, same thing.
That is not
yeah, related.
Her brother's Jake.
Same thing.
No,
everybody's super excited about, oh, the Joker. We're going to have this Joker backstory movie. Everybody's super pumped. I've seen the clip of him doing his...
Why are we getting a Joker backstory movie?
I don't know.
It's not necessary, and that's why a lot of people are having issue with this movie, but...
Do you ever learn about Joker's backstory in the comics?
You get hints to it, but you never get a set thing, and there's also stipulations that there's multiple Jokers.
Which is why part of the reason why Joker's so awesome is because he's just like this enigmatic psychopath.
Yeah, but the pictures of his makeup look really, really cool. Because he's got like traditional clown makeup, which is actually really, really different and really interesting.
Joaquin.
Why don't we just go back to the 60s, do a really campy, and I'm not talking...
Adam West.
I'm not talking like, what's his name?
Adam West.
I'm not talking like Arnold Schwarzenegger versus Freeze campy. I'm talking about...
Ice to meet you.
I'm talking about a
you
legit...
You need to chill out.
You don't like Jim Carrey as the Riddler?
Ugh, those are bad.
I liked him. Those are my favorite Batman ones.
That can't be true.
This is so true.
That cannot be
true. Think about the time frame, though. Like, it's right around.
It came
out,
and they were all over Taco Bell, and you would just get those little drinks with them on there, and you can get the little thing and peel it off. And yeah, dude, I love those.
I say this. You know where Batman's doing the Bat-toosie? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The Wat-toosie.
There it is.
I know.
We should have watched.
Yeah, I saw that.
We should have watched the 60s Batman
no,
movie.
No, it's horrible.
It's awful.
It is horrible. He's like, what's yellow and has a black ink or something? And he's like, a banana pen? Exactly. Like, stupid.
I've got shark repellent.
It's the stupidest. I don't even understand.
That was you got to remember that show was hot and then it was gone. That whole thing happened in a span of 3 years. In 3 years, it was the biggest thing on TV, and by then it was done. So that movie came out, like the, I think, the second year of the show, and they're like, let's have everybody, all the villains in there, yeah. And boom.
Yeah, they were pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, they're great. My daughter and I have been watching them, and she loves it because she gets it. She understands. Like,
but the, watching Robin, I can't get over.
He's terrible.
His outfit, the way they go back and forth, I just can't.
You know.
I love it. Let's do that again. Let's do that again. Instead of all this darkness, let's bring Batman back.
Darkness.
Back to the light. What do you think?
I'd love it.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you cast as your campy Batman right now? It can't be somebody too... You can't have a good actor.
No.
But you kind of want somebody super campy.
But you want somebody, too campy.
I kind of feel like Keaton could have also played the Joker.
Buster Keaton?
No.
Michael
Keaton.
Oh, he would have been a good Joker.
You know yeah. what? He would also be it's a weird good that he was, campy Batman, too.
It was weird that he was Batman and not Joker.
I want Dwight from The Office to play Batman.
Oh, my God. No.
Yes. That's not believable.
See, but absolutely. Jim, I think you could do Jim.
Bronson. Charles Bronson.
As Batman?
Yes.
That's, just
watch, he doesn't talk.
Just watch he Death Wish. Talk. Just watch Death Wish.
No, but you're going for a campy Batman. You're not going for a...
John Krasinski?
I could see Charles Bronson as a 70s Punisher. Yeah. I could totally see that.
He'd be a great
Punisher. I could totally see that. A little short, but other than that...
Who cares? Frank Castle's just angry. It doesn't matter what he looks like.
I would just cast Bronson in everything.
Camera angles.
That's interesting because you haven't gotten... we're not going to see any late Bronson, so I want to see if you follow the Bronson career off the show and then...
I kind of did. I started to whatever was available online for streaming.
Jake, is that it? What are you reading? Anything? You watching anything? What's going on?
I have a book that Patrick recommended to me that I haven't gotten to yet.
What is it?
Called Everywhere.
It's called Neverwhere.
Neverwhere, excuse me.
Did you start it?
No, not yet.
Oh, it's a good one.
Neverwhere is written by Neil Gaiman, one of my favorite authors.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic, super different. It's all about the upside down portion of London. So it has to do with... kind of like the secret world behind modern day London, and there's a lot of really cool stuff.
This is with a little girl, right?
No.
With Keith.
I'm talking about Stranger Things.
She's not a little girl. She's like probably mid 20s.
Oh, in my mind, she was a little girl.
Okay.
Your mind is wrong.
But it's got some really interesting characters, and it's super different. And it's his first book that I ever got into before I read American Gods.
Okay, very nice.
And it's shorter, which is nice. So American mm-hmm. Gods is a fantastic book, but it's really, really thick, and you gotta take a dive in there.
So it'll only take me a month to read as opposed to like a year. For
she was waiting for it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Justine, you were waiting to jump in.
I was. Well, I thought they would keep going with
She's
that.
Still waiting.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Justine.
So sorry.
Your face lit up.
Well, I was going to say, what did you get from Frankenstein? Or the monster? It's going to be popular.
He's going to be real popular.
Woof.
Is it my turn?
No, Justine. Last.
Sure.
I'm last. Okay,
no,
go.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Justine, what have you done?
Okay. So, I read this book. It's called Skyward,
mm-hmm.
Volume 1.
You could have asked me. I could have told you what you bought last week.
You knew what I bought?
Yeah, I saw you buy it.
Oh, man. I asked Renee, and Renee's like, I don't know. And I tried looking it up. I'm like, Zero Gravity.
Oh, that was from the artist you like, huh?
No. She's coming out next week, and I get to buy it.
She's coming out.
She wants the world to know.
Okay, go ahead. Talk us through it.
It was good. I don't want to say much because the parts I really like is the spoilers. So
give it a gentle background.
What's so uh-huh. You see Earth right as it loses its gravity.
Mm-hmm.
So all these people start flying up into the air and they vanish because they just die that way. But her mom dies. I can't bring it up because I'm going to spoil it. So it's a good story though. It's just
a story
about everyone
Earth losing gravity.
Yeah, losing gravity, but then her dad claims that he knows how to get it back. So they all adjusted to the world of not having gravity, the people living above, but everyone below has magnetic shoes and they're trying to like hate on everyone that has no gravity. I forgot what they call them.
It kind of has like a so, Altered Carbon ish deal.
I didn't see that.
Where you got like the low, where you got like the lower life people kind of living down on Earth, where they have like the pristine, or like they have like the higher ups living in this
opposite.
Sky? Opposite.
Opposite.
Okay.
Cool. So everyone's still living in the past, but then their hair is still sticking up because they can't control that. But they have their, they're talking about putting like magnetic things on the hem of their dresses so it stays down, and they're just trying to live normally.
Is there a boy and his dog?
No.
Is his name Scruffy?
You're thinking of Steampunk? Or
no, there's a Skyward from 2014, and it has a kitten.
No, this one's by Joe Henderson.
It's that one.
Now, there we go. Joe Henderson, Lee Garbett, artist. I forgot to mention last time. How is it, though? Good?
I love it. I couldn't put it down. I finished it. I'm a little bummed about that.
Welcome to my life.
I hate that. Okay.
So you just do what I do. You reread it.
No.
I reread books constantly.
No, no, no. Okay. And then I'm also watching, or I just finished it, Sierra Burgess is a Loser.
How's that?
On Netflix. And I watched To All the Boys I've Ever, or I've Loved Before.
Okay, but you got to tell us what they're about.
They're both rom-coms set in high school. So cheesy, and I freaking love it. It's so cute. I love it.
What one? What?
Sierra Burgess is a Loser. It's Barb from Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. I heard that was, she's the lead. Heard that was good.
Yeah, everyone's been talking about it. So I finally watched it, and it was good. And then To All the Boys I've Loved Before. That was a book that became a show or a movie on Netflix. And that one's really good, too. The only problem I have with that is the girls are all supposed to be related and sisters, but obviously they did an Asian mother, and each Asian girl is a different type of Asian, and you can see it, and that bothers me. Like, I get it. They just rounded up whatever girls they saw, but then they gave them a...
Cultural appropriation. They're Asian. It's
fine. Yeah, exactly. But they gave them a white dad, and then the Asian mom was the one that passed away, so you don't see her, but... I feel like that's where they're trying to say, like, oh, they're mixed, so they don't quite look alike. I hated that part, but that's it. One, so the main girl is Vietnamese. The sister is half Chinese, half white. And the other girl is, they didn't give her a race, I think, because she's too young.
Mom's been getting around.
But she's Canadian.
By the way, welcome to, and people get mad at me for this. Like, people are like, you should just be happy there's Latinos on TV. It's like, yeah, but if you're Mexican, why can't a Mexican play a Mexican? It's always like a Cuban playing a Mexican.
Or an Italian playing a Mexican. Or
none
Italian.
Of those I said was Korean, and they were supposed to be Korean.
Yeah,
they, all they did, the only way they brought it back was they're like, oh, yeah, they're at that Korean place, they have this. Let's go to that Korean grocery. They don't show it, but they mention it a few times, and you're like, oh, the mom's Korean, got it. It just drove me crazy because she looks completely.
Let's go to the Korean market.
So I should just.
Mom loved it.
But I was happy. I was like, cool, an Asian girl on TV.
Yeah, that's kind of that's the thing. It's like, you take what you can get. Not that I'm not happy that other Latinos are getting those roles, but at the same time, it's like,
okay,
you're supposed to be Mexican, and I know you're not Mexican, and it's just kind of like.
Yeah, they did that in Crazy Rich Asians too. When I was watching that, I'm like, they're clearly not. But okay, cool.
They're clearly not rich or Asian.
Well, I'm totally happy for them.
What's that movie that came out where who was Aloha? Who was supposed to be Asian in that movie, and they're not? They cast a white girl.
Aloha.
Was it
Ghost in the Shell?
No,
I do remember that.
I mean, that's not wrong.
I like ScarJo. Don't
get me wrong. It was your girl.
Oh, yeah?
Emma Stone?
Emma
Stone, yeah.
Gollum?
And what?
In what?
La La Land?
Aloha.
Gollum?
I'm fine.
Oh, is that with Amy?
She's supposed to be Hawaiian and Asian. And it's Emma Stone.
Does she have dark
hair? She doesn't look Hawaiian or Asian.
Yeah, what is...
That's what they cast her as.
She's just beautiful.
She was supposed to be Hawaiian or Asian.
Stupid.
Nice.
There you go.
Those are the things I was watching and reading. Oh, and I just started the Stanford Prison Experiment.
Oh, okay.
For school.
Oh, Jesus.
That's kind of dark right now.
It's super dark.
It's like, super it's a true dark.
Story. I'm 1 hour in.
It's a true story.
it's fucked up.
But I have to write a paper on it, so right. I'm going to watch the next hour.
Get pumped. It's something.
Yeah.
No matter how hard you're studying at school, remember, the podcast is your first priority.
Okay, got it.
Patrick, what have you done?
What have I done? Several things. You want the good or the bad or the ugly?
Whatever. Let's talk about it.
Okay. First off, I'm rereading a couple books. So I'm reading a book by one of my favorite authors, A. Lee Martinez. He does a lot of sci-fi fantasy books, but they're comedies. So right now I'm rereading In the Company of Ogres. It's about a guy named Never Dead Ned who can die, but he doesn't stay dead. And so he dies all the time, dies frequently in mysterious and hilarious ways. And he's always coming back to life. And so he works for this mercenary company, and he works in the accounting division. And they put him in charge of a company that always has their commanding officer killed off in some way, because you find out later that the lieutenants are always trying to kill him off to take his position. So they put him in the charge of this company. Well, it's like the third chapter. It's not a spoiler. They put him in charge because they think, oh, well, you know, he can't die, so there's no problem there. And then it boils down, and it's really, really funny.
Who's the author?
A. Lee Martinez.
Spell it.
A. dot space L-E-E space Martinez.
A. Lee Martinez.
A. Right. Lee Martinez.
Yeah. I love his books. He has a book called Monster.
So yeah, he has another fantastic book. He has several.
Oh, the diner one? That one's my favorite too.
So he has a book called Monster, which is about a cryptozoologist exterminator. So he goes out to like the first, I think the intro to the book is he goes into like a gas station grocery store to get a Yeti out of a freezer. And it's hilarious. And it's really interesting. It's the same guy who wrote The Automatic Detective. I think
I have that. I've not read it. I will.
It's they're all really, really funny books, but they have a nice fantasy sci-fi twist. And I cannot recommend them enough. They're really easy, quick reads. If you know.
For some.
Well, I know. But if you like, you know, like some people I know take a long time to read a book, this would be something that would be good just for you to enjoy and have fun with. And they're hard to put down. I also picked up another book recently. It's called Reincarnated Blues. This one is about a guy who has died and been reincarnated 9,995 times, and he has 5 more times to get it right. And it's basically a love story comedy. It's really funny. Yeah, it's been good. That one is by Michael Poore. That just came out the other week.
What a poor guy.
That's a poor joke.
I know.
Good for you, buddy.
Good for you. And last but not least, issue 2 of Rick and Morty's Dungeons and Dragons series came out. So basically, it's Rick and Morty meets Dungeons and Dragons, and it's really funny. If you like D&D, I highly recommend it. It's really enjoyable. And then last but not least, I fell down the stairs on Sunday. I slipped on the third to bottom step, slammed my back. I got like a couple bruised ribs and, you know, all that fun stuff.
How'd you fall down the stairs?
I slipped on my pants.
You slipped on your pants
that were on the stairs?
No. So they're carpeted stairs. I don't have any shoes on. I'm walking down the stairs. I'm wearing jeans, and my jeans were, I wasn't wearing a belt, so they kind of fallen, and I stepped on the pant leg and just went whoop.
Were you barefoot?
Yep.
Freaking white people, man. Yep. You guys love to be barefoot.
Love to be barefoot. But
shoes in the house all the time.
Shoes in the house, dude.
Yeah.
You can't take shoes upstairs.
No, you cannot. I'm not allowed wear shoes. To. He's in an Asian home. You take your shoes off.
I'm not allowed to. So everybody came running.
Don't give him an out.
I have an out.
Don't give him an out, Justin.
I hate wearing shoes. You're lucky I'm wearing white right
it doesn't have to be an Asian house. They'll do it in the movie theater.
Yep.
They'll do it on an airplane.
Yep.
They'll do it in amusement parks. They love to take their shoes off.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I had a friend in high school who didn't wear shoes for a year.
Jeez Louise.
Ew. Where's your friend?
It was Scott.
Ew.
He never wore shoes, and he still to this day wears them very, very rarely. So, but like his feet were super tough.
My feet are soft as a baby's ass. Always wear shoes, even in the house.
So yeah, that's what's going on.
Mom always said, always wear shoes in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's all I got. I'm excited for Battlefield, comes out soon.
Yes.
Very excited.
Also.
Nope, don't care.
Yes. New Call of Duty.
No, really don't care.
They have the Battle Royale mode, which looks pretty good.
So does Battlefield.
Yeah, Battlefield.
Oh, they
it's
do?
It's called Ring of Fire.
Ooh. Interesting.
So they're like firebombing and it's getting closer and closer to the center.
It's going to be interesting.
Yes.
I'm excited.
I'd be down.
Yes.
So I don't have to give more money to Activision.
If you had a console, you could play.
Yeah.
I did see that they're going to allow cross...
platform?
Cross-platform on Fortnite.
They've been doing it like Xbox intermittently for a while. So they've had it to where you see someone who was a PlayStation player on a PC.
Means nothing to me.
So it's been like
it's exciting for people to play it.
Yeah.
The few, yeah. There's a
the few, it's huge.
There's a lot of people who play it.
It's huge.
I don't get it. Okay. I don't get it.
You don't have to like
it. I know I don't have to, but I'm just like, I don't understand.
A lot of people didn't understand Minecraft.
I enjoyed Minecraft.
Yeah, it was fun. It's like, it's a game that you can just do mindlessly that's appealing for a lot of audiences.
Hey, that's exactly the games I hate.
No, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a story about Minecraft. All right. I once built myself a beautiful little house out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I used to play when my daughter was little, and we'd sit there and play together. It was very tranquil.
Yeah.
And she got it right away. Well, I got into it because I was like, oh, I'm going to build this. I'm going to build that. I built this house. I love this house. And I wandered off one day. I went digging in. I just dug.
You just start going down.
And I found this underground river, and it carried me away. I got lost. I had to fight my way back to the surface. Finally got up there. I was crafting as I was miles from the house. I had no way of knowing where it was. And I kid you not, I spent, I think, 2 weeks
trying to get home.
Crossing the map.
Just trying to get home.
And I found
still trying to get home. Yep.
Is there like a saving point where you can just go back?
Actually, if you die, you respawn in your bed.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just freaking die?
You probably had a bunch of stuff.
I had a bunch of stuff.
Was your bed there?
You didn't want to die. Now you can like download mods. You can like put waypoints and stuff.
There's all sorts of crazy stuff.
Well, what I used to do back in the early days was I would build a giant tower, and then I would put a piece of the glow thing on there.
Yeah. So you'd have a beacon?
So I could have a beacon, and I would look. Uh-huh. You really had to be
I know, but the draw distance isn't that long, so it probably got lost. No, like after 120
somewhere
blocks.
I just built like one every, four squares. Beacon.
I kid you not, I did that. I started doing that. I would build
make like a perimeter every 100 feet.
Just goes in a circle for a while. He's like, this is my first circle.
Concentric circles.
I'm going to make it home.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good game. That game really did give you a sense of exploration.
But like Fortnite's the same way. It's just it's popular because it's very, very user friendly. Mm-hmm. It was something that was different,
and it was free.
And it was free to start.
And like a lot of their like viable stuff, like the dances and all the different things, are very close to like pop culture.
Yeah.
So it has an appeal. I get why it's so popular.
If you're like a 10, 11, 12 year old kid, a game you don't have to ask your parents for permission to buy.
I'd be
it's
all
just
over
there.
It.
It's download.
A shooter.
It's a shooter.
So you get to kill people.
You can play with a bunch of your friends and just be like, yeah, I get it. Yeah. I played a couple times with you guys. It's fun.
It's like when Halo first came out. It was the same thing. Like everybody was at their friend's house on the couch playing that damn game.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
But
it's
Halo was a good
game. Yeah, but it's very interactive.
Mm-hmm.
It connects people. It's the same thing with WoW and stuff like that. It brings people together. You're able to form a community from this. Yeah. I get it. I will play the game. I don't love it. I'm not like, oh my god, I have to play Fortnite. But if somebody's like, oh yeah, what are we doing right now? Oh, I don't know. I want to play Fortnite. It's like, all right, fine.
The only thing that seemed fun about what happened to you, Mario, is that you got lost and then you had something that you had to look forward to, like making your way back home.
It took me. I crisscrossed that
stupid
map.
And that would have motivated me. Otherwise, just running around building a house is not fun.
There actually is a direction in Minecraft now. There's like a quote unquote story mode.
Yeah. Oh, thank God.
See, but the problem with
you have to get to the Nether world, and you have to kill the Ender Dragon.
Justine's so picky, is she doesn't like games that you just wander around and do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't like games where you have to talk to everybody because you need to get every single piece of the story.
Don't. You know what? You could play the Spider-Man and you could do either one. You could play straight through the story and not have to do any of the side stuff. Or you could, if you want to build your character and make him better.
Kind of like Red Dead?
Yes.
Okay, see, I'm totally fine with that. No, makes everyone else happy because they get to wander around.
Red Dead is like Dragon Age and you hate that game. It's like Skyrim. You hate that
game. Well, you hate that game because of the setting. I used to get really bored in medieval settings.
She doesn't hate that. She hates the fact that you can wander around and talk to
everyone. Skyrim really changed that for me. I'm not going to lie. I used to hate... I'd see medieval stuff and be like... boring.
You'd probably like The Witcher. What answer do I want to say?
I think I played The Witcher.
Witcher 3?
I sent it back.
You know, you avoid
people. You didn't like Witcher 3?
I played it for a little while. I played Dragon Age. I liked that.
That's a great
game. I loved the first Dragon Age.
I loved all three of them.
I didn't play Dragon Age 2, and I saw a little bit of Inquisition.
Inquisition was by far their pinnacle. It was fantastic. It was so good.
Then this became a game podcast.
We asked what we're doing. Hey, Mario.
What are you doing, Mario?
What are you doing?
What have you done, you guys? Come on.
I finished...
You finished? Nicole must be so happy.
The Spider-Man.
The Inquisition. Let's begin. The Inquisition.
Look out, Sam.
We have a mission to convert the Jews.
You guys have never seen...
I haven't seen it.
You've never seen History of the World?
Yeah, I have.
Part one, The Great Mel Brooks?
It's Mel Brooks.
Yeah. You got to watch it. The Inquisition.
You finished the Spider-Man game?
I got 100%.
Ooh.
But
ooh, you got 100. I love that.
Here's the thing. You got 100, but there's still stuff to do. I don't have all the suits. I don't have...
How can you get
100?
Because you finished the story mode with all of the upgrades and everything that you're supposed to have.
So how do you get 100% and not have all the suits?
Because there's some hidden stuff.
Oh, you have to like find some of
the suits. But the hidden stuff should be part of your score.
Yeah.
I thought so too.
That makes me a little mad.
But I'm glad that I got...
Furious.
I'm glad that I got 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And I still... The story's great. It is like a great, great... I'm telling you, if you love Spider-Man, if you like Spider-Man at all, the story mode is awesome. And it is like one of the best. If they had put it in comic form, it'd be awesome. If they made a movie out of it, it would be awesome. I don't want to ruin the ending for you, but there's some stuff that happens. They shake up the character a little
bit. Shit goes down.
I'm not that
far in, so don't ruin it.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, it's good.
I'm like maybe 10 minutes.
It's good.
I'm rescuing.
And the guy who plays Spider-Man, the voice actor who does Spider-Man, kudos to that guy, because especially when you're just wandering around the city and... You know, these little...
I like that there's, like, the extra dialogue.
His little quips, those are great. Delivered perfectly. The way you want. Everything that you want in the Spider-Man character is in this game. It's awesome.
Is there a guy on the street, Spidey, do a flip?
No, but there are people, like, as you walk through a crowd, there are people... Like, sometimes if you get it, like, if you're stopping a crime in the middle of the street, people are going, yeah, get him, Spidey! It's it's super awesome.
I wish they told him to do a flip and you do a flip.
Hey, Spidey, do a flip!
I'm sure it might be hidden somewhere, like hard to find, like some
Spider-Man
random corner.
Guy from YouTube, right? Do a flip.
Do a flip.
I love that. It makes it so New York.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. And the other guy's like, not bad. And then I forgot to mention last time we talked about what I've been reading. I forgot to mention a new comic. It's DC Vertigo. It's called Border Town.
Ooh.
It's written by Eric Esquivel and the artist is Ramon Villalobos. Let me give you the synopsis on Amazon. When a crack in the border between worlds releases an army of monsters from Mexican folklore, the residents of Devil's Fork, Arizona blame the ensuing weirdness, the shared nightmares, the otherworldly radio transmissions, the mysterious goat mutilations on, quote-unquote, God dang illegals. With racial tensions supernaturally charged, up to the new kid in town, Frank Dominguez, and a motley crew of high school misfits to discover what's really going on in this town torn between worlds. If you can't guess why I like this...
It sounds fantastic.
It's really great, and the art is amazing. So check it out. Really fun.
Yeah, I love stuff that has to deal with like cryptids or cryptozoology in any way. It's really
cool. The Chupacabra looks like it's going to have a big part to play.
Hmm.
Nice.
So there you go. That's all I will say.
Speaking of folklore like that, there's another thing that I've been getting into. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube. There's also a video game about it. It's called SCP. Secure, Contain, Protect. There's a game called SCP Containment Breach, which has a lot of the stuff in there. But it's basically, I don't know if it's entirely fan-built, but it's like a fan-built organization that... focuses on the securing and containment of like cryptozoology or anything that kind of is out of the norm. There's
The SCP Foundation is a fictional organization documented by the web-based collaborative fiction project of the same name. In-universe, the SCP Foundation is responsible for locating and containing individuals, entities, locations, and objects that violate natural law, referred to as SCPs. The real world website is community-based and includes elements of many genres such as horror, science fiction, and urban fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Super interesting. There's a lot of YouTubers who will take certain SCP case files and they'll read the full. There's like huge. Some of them are huge case files that can like some videos go on for like 20 minutes where they're literally just reading off the case file. And there's stuff from like Bigfoot. They've got different types of like alien creatures. They've got like.
And it's all fan based. That's awesome.
All fan based. Super cool. They have like objects that like. Send you into pocket dimensions with like crazy creatures and stuff. There's literally, it's like anything that you can think of. There's like,
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. I hope they do this as a web series or a movie. SCP-055 is something that causes anyone who examines it to forget its various characteristics, thus making it indescribable except in terms of what it is not.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah, really crazy, just weird things that you would never even like think of.
SCP-087 is a staircase that appears to descend downwards forever. The staircase is inhabited by SCP-087-1, which is described as a face without a mouth, pupil, or nostrils.
Mm-hmm.
That is terrifying.
There was one that I was listening to that's really cool. I need to double check the name.
And where have you been finding these things?
I've just been listening to a lot of them on YouTube, but there's one called The Doorman.
I don't want to hear about this.
Absolutely terrifying.
I already don't like it.
It's essentially a humanoid creature that has no eyes, and the majority of its its face is occupied by a huge like mouth, a giant like human teeth, and it literally just periodically pops up behind doors, waiting for someone to open. And anybody who tries to open the door has like this paralyzing fear and paranoia until it leaves.
This is my favorite. SCP-3008 is an IKEA retail store that has an infinite interior space with no outer physical bounds, causing prospective customers to be trapped. It contains a rudimentary civilization formed by those customers.
I love it.
I love that.
There's another one. There's like some that are malevolent, some that are benign, and some that are actually really helpful. There's one called SCP, I think it's called 9999.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a creature that was made by another SCP, is like their offspring, and it's literally just an amorphous blob that is extremely friendly towards humans and anybody who is experiencing any sort of depression or just negative effects or anything. They like hug it and they feel better.
Well, that's like you. That's like John Sandy.
And it's been known to like engulf that person.
John Sandy in an amorphous blob.
He's not an amorphous blob, but if you hug John Sandy, you automatically feel better.
True.
It'll like engulf them. It'll like tickle them to make you know them what's like,
funny?
Laugh and
it's
stuff.
Funny when you fall down those rabbit holes because somebody brought up something on Twitter and they talked about Philip, who's a farmer, who's a science fiction writer. I've never read any of his stuff, but he came up with this thing in the 70s that is now called the Wold-Newton family.
Mm-hmm.
And it is in real life, a meteorite called the Wold Cottage meteorite fell near Wold Newton, Yorkshire, England on December 13th, 1795. And so Farmer suggested in two fictional biographies, Tarzan Alive, a biography of Lord Greystoke, and Doc Savage, his apocalyptic life, that this meteorite caused genetic mutations in the occupants of two passing coaches due to ionization. Many of their descendants were thus endowed with extremely high intelligence and strength, as well as an exceptional capacity and drive to perform good or, as the case may be, evil deeds. So the progeny of these travelers are purported to have been real-life originals of fictionalized characters, both heroic and villainous, over the last 100 years. So some of the people that would have been involved in that would have been Professor Moriarty, Phileas Fogg from the... from Around the World in the 80s, the Time Traveler from The Time Machine, Alan Quatermain, Sherlock Holmes, Sam Spade, the detective, Philip Marlowe, James Bond, all these guys would have been like later, they would have been descendants of the same progeny.
Okay.
So it's like this shared universe theory that I had no existed, and it's existed since the 70s that all these characters are like come from because of this one meteor that fell. But I was like, I like the fact that Bond, because, you know, we talked about Bond, how he seems to have a preternatural power for changing his face that can't seem to be explained, although he does seem to be all these different people, unless it's a code name.
It's a lot of questions to ask.
Right? Yeah. All right. You know what else I've been? Oh, I know what else I forgot to tell you guys.
What?
So we got I told you guys the Xbox crapped out in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So we're without TV and my wife are like, what are we going to do?
Oh,
talk?
That sucks.
No way.
Ugh.
So we used to have Roku boxes back before we had smart TVs, and once we got smart TVs, we got rid of the Roku box, and I bought a Roku stick. I don't know why we ever got rid of these things, because they have way more apps than your smart TV does.
Mm-hmm.
So they have Filmstruck, which is what the Criterion Collection used to be. So the Criterion Collection is where you can find things like The Seven Samurai, all these quote-unquote important foreign or older American films.
Mm-hmm.
There are Criterion editions on Blu-ray. They had their own channel. Used to be free on Hulu. Then they started they merged with Turner and started this thing called Filmstruck. And I found it.
Is it
in
still
one
free?
Of the apps. It's not. Mm. It is $11 a month. But I will tell you that if you are a classic film nut like I am, it is beautiful and it is well worth the cost.
Can I find all the digital movie clubs on this?
A lot of them.
If it's not all of them, no.
But you can find a lot of. But what I do like is they'll have different things. They'll feature a different actor or a different director. So let's say right now there's a thing on Jimmy Stewart and Robert Mitchum being like the opposite faces of America.
I want to live, Clarence.
So you go in there and there's eight movies starring either of them or Cary Grant. There's a bunch. And North by Northwest is on there. It includes North by Northwest.
It includes the scene.
Justine.
What did you think, Justine?
Why did they show that?
It was a small clip. All
we were
before
watching
the...
before... Young Frankenstein.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that.
We were watching, they showed it as a preview, and Justine's like, wait, is that the scene?
You just see guy duck from a plane.
It's literally a snippet.
And I went, hey, there it is. I saw it on the big screen. John's
going to be so
big
happy.
Big screen, 1 second.
Wasn't
saw
even
it.
The whole scene. It was literally a 2 second clip where the plane's
the
trying
thing,
to hit him.
But it was just like, she saw it.
I think they were trying to show the movies that they show through the year.
Oh, okay.
So they did a little snippet of that. And you know what? I noticed it. And you guys didn't say a word.
I love it. So you guys saw, yeah. So Chip, if you love classic cinema and you like the Criterion Collection, it's worth. I mean, it seems pricey, but you know, for all those movies on demand, it's a lot of value, and they're laid out really, really well. They're laid out by topic. They'll give you different, and they'll come up with different topics. So there's like different cinematographers get highlighted and things like that. So I really like it. I'm on the free trial right now, and that ends. But I think I'm going to keep it.
It's a keeper.
If I might have to get rid of Hulu, but I don't know.
There's
a lot of classic TV on Hulu that I like.
Yeah, there's classic TV on there, but there's not a lot of stuff I watch.
Sailor
much
Moon.
Oh, yeah. Now you got to keep it.
Adventure Time.
Yeah, Adventure Time's on.
But they also do a lot of live. Yeah, exactly. They do a lot of shows on TV that are on, and they get the episodes right away.
Yeah.
So
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is such a great show.
It is.
I've been watching a lot of that.
It's good.
I'm on season. Started with Sandy a few months ago. And we're on season 3 right now.
I love
almost
it.
Done with season 3.
Every Halloween episode is a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Halloween Heist.
Yep. What else? Oh, you guys saw Young Frankenstein live.
Yes. So
live
Tuesday nights at Harkins, they do classic movies for
five. For those
five.
Of you out of the immediate area, that means nothing.
Yeah, right.
No,
over in Chino.
States.
There's
no,
a Chino
Hills.
There's a no. There's a bunch of different. It's
I mean,
Harkins.
Oh, just Harkins in general, does
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Our friends in Canada or
they might have
Australasia.
Harkins. We don't know.
If you have a Harkins near you, they do.
Check your local theater.
Night,
they might
Tuesday.
Do a classic movie night. Uh-huh. It was $5. It's every Tuesday. And we saw Young Frankenstein on the big screen, which was a wonderful thing to actually finally see on like a movie set, like on a movie theater. That was
in a
really
movie
cool.
theater?
Yeah, in a movie theater.
On
the
movie theater.
I was on it, you know. But it was incredibly crowded. The theater was sold out. It was full. And everybody had a wonderful time. It was fantastic.
And you said there were a lot of little kids in the audience?
A lot of little kids, a lot of older. I mean, it was. I
a
was
lot
surprised.
Of parents
like, when we got there early, and there was a line at the door.
Love it.
It was great. It was a big shock, but it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And what got the biggest reaction? What do you think got the biggest laugh?
The soup scene with the blind man got a big thing.
That was loud.
I don't know why I
laughed.
All
the little kids were just like, they just thought it was hilarious. A crotch shot, of course. Yeah, and then the way he reacted to the soup. So just that was a
that
kid
scene
reaction.
Is great.
Put him on the Ritz. I love always good for a laugh.
When he smokes a cigar, he's like, no, fire is
but
good.
Before putting on the Ritz, though, some girl was already laughing.
Yeah.
I was like, why is she laughing?
So you had never seen the whole movie, Justine?
No, apparently I'm not.
And what did you give it? Let's give it a rating. It's going to be on the Digital Movie Club again, but
yes,
right now...
I don't mind. I'll
initial gut reaction. What was your rating, Justine? Is it better than Casablanca?
It's better than Casablanca, but I'll give it a 7.
Just a 7?
Yeah.
9.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a 9.
That's
for
a
me.
Niner.
This movie is a 10 out of 10 for me. It is in my top 5 all-time
it's
favorite movies.
I don't like it, like...
It's fantastic.
And I didn't realize it that he also acts like this in his other movie, too, where he just goes from, like, like 0 to 100 with his anger.
Yes.
That's what he does.
That's the whole thing.
He does it in Willy Wonka, too.
Exactly
he does it in Blazing Saddles.
Like,
that's what he does.
After watching it, I was like, man, he has anger issues. Like he just.
That's the point.
Calm
he's nuts.
Down.
He's crazy.
He plays a really great crazy man.
My grandfather's work. Was doo-doo.
I like when he's like, he's like, and you won't be mad? I won't be mad.
Open the door. Open the door, please.
You mean I put an abnormal brain in this giant?
No, Abby something. What? Abby normal.
Yeah. I made sure I read
so
it.
So good. Werewolf.
Love it just when he stabs his
werewolf. Yeah.
Their castle.
Fine, I'll give it a
what
7 and
knockers.
A
half.
Thank
you, doctor.
Thank you, doctor.
Thank you, doctor.
Oh, you're welcome.
You gotta love it when he stabs his leg and he just like puts his leg over and hides it like no one noticed. It's like no glasses dismissed.
I'll give it a 7.5. It didn't make me want more of it. Like I didn't want a sequel.
No, you don't need a sequel.
You don't need a sequel.
What
if he would have done?
The movie was perfect.
That's what I'm saying.
What if
we
would have done
Bride
of Young Frankenstein?
Oh, my God.
Now, I asked you this before the show, but so watching the Frankenstein movies helped you get a lot of the jokes, isn't
it? Yeah, because like, right when the little girl showed up, I don't know if Jake heard me. I was like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. I was like, this girl's going to go, shit.
What was really cool about this that I had never noticed before, so in the initial opening credits, they actually say that they used original props for Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never noticed that. That was cool.
They said thank you to the guy.
Yeah.
The guy actually had them in his garage in, I think he lived in like Santa Monica or something.
Yeah.
And he had them in his garage, and he let Mel Brooks use them. But those are the original props. He had collected them
all.
That's crazy. Because a lot of that stuff they just threw it out.
Yeah.
It was like, yep. It's like the wall from King Kong. They burned it. They use it for kindling in the Burning of Atlanta scene for Gone with the Wind. So they just took that wall down and burned it. It's like
ridiculous.
It's another reason I hate Gone with the Wind. That and it's racist.
So long.
It's so. Oh yeah, thank you.
Isn't the movie like 4 hours long?
Well, thank you, Doctor.
It is.
So this Gone movie was fantastic to see on the big screen.
Guys, we have to talk about the...
Let's talk about it.
We have to talk about something about Digital Movie Club. We have to discuss Digital Movie Club business on air. I know we're not supposed to talk about business outside of the family, but there are a lot of great movies that are available for streaming right now on Amazon and Netflix. A lot of 70s movies that we may and may not cover. So what I'm proposing is that perhaps we get a little loose with the timeline in the 70s.
Ugh.
With that, is anyone opposed to that, or do you want to keep a strict, we're going 70, 71, 72? What do you guys think?
I'm all about fast and loose.
What do you think? Justine, Patrick?
You know, I always thought the timeline was a little loose anyways.
It has been.
Yeah, I'm fine.
What do you think, Justine?
That's good.
People want to be entertained. I get it.
HBO's about to get rid of all of... The aliens, they have all of them on there right now.
Oh, that's good. We'll at least watch the first one. Well, we will be watching that. We will be covering. What we could do is add one horror movie since it's Halloween. Add one horror movie every week.
Yeah,
we could do that.
I like that.
Or,
no,
not
okay. No.
You want to do all horror? All
right. No, just like the week before. Like the
that's
week.
That's a horrible
for the week
idea.
Just have them ready.
So I'll look at what's online right now because I'm trying to get it for free. So we guys. It, you know, No. It bums me out that you guys spent $3 and hated Bonnie and Clyde, you know?
Oh, my God. Oh,
that was the worst thing I ever spent money on. Mm. And I thought
she didn't even buy it either. It was me.
No, but I thought I hated the other movie, too, that old one we watched.
Ah, yeah, that old one.
There was a really old one that Casablanca? I really didn't like.
Not Them?
Casablanca. The one about going inside the human body? Because that was horrible.
Mm. That was bad, too.
Fantastic Voyage is great. Love it. You guys are all
love the only thing good from that was the blind movie. Guy coming back. I'm like, great cool. Movie. He's alive.
Had me on the seat of my pants.
Yep. Yeah, there's a reason we watch that movie, and you won't find out till we get to the 80s, but there's a reason we watch that movie.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Nope. Nope.
Is it the one where they're little and then they're driving the car and they're...
You mean Ant-Man and the Wasp?
No. No, they're like, they're trying to grow back, but they only grow about this height. And then they like take over a car and they're like trying to drive and get away.
Ant-Man and the Wasp?
What the hell?
I don't know, guys.
About?
I'm a product of the 80s and I don't know my movies and they all mushed up together.
I don't know. I don't know what that is. It sounds intriguing. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a movie I would have loved.
Yeah. It's so stupid.
Seems like the movie falls a little short.
But it's in the middle of them like growing back to a normal height, but they only made it to right here at the moment. So then they take over this car and they, I don't know.
What do you mean take over a car? What does that mean?
They steal a car.
What does that mean?
They steal a car because they're trying to get somewhere.
It's just trying to get away from somewhere. It doesn't make sense.
I just watched a lot of movies when I was...
People grow to midget
people
size.
Steal car.
That's not going to help you. Steal a car. I'm telling you guys, I watched a lot of movies that I just didn't know like worked together. And you know.
The Borrowers?
No, it's not The Borrowers.
Yeah, it might be The Borrowers.
No, it's probably it's The Borrowers.
No, because they were little. Like, they were in someone's body, and they escape out. But then they're trying to, like, they're growing back, but in stages.
Movie where people escape body and steal her.
This is Justine's lucid dream.
It's not.
I think you just imagined this movie.
Just making
it's
shit
not,
up.
It's not.
I think you're combining all the movies that we've seen thus far.
No.
You're talking about Ant-Man and the Wasp.
No. Mm. Oh, well.
Nope.
I'm sure I'll figure it out eventually.
You're not talking about Inner Space, are you? With Martin Short?
Oh, I'm in her space.
I'm trying to look at pictures from it.
Are you in her crawl space?
Not doing much crawling.
I'm in your crawl space. What?
That's so weird. Let me in your crawl space.
No, Jake, the way you say it sounds
I'm
horrible.
In your crawl space, bro.
Yeah, let me in your crawl space.
Ew. Get out of there.
Okay. I've fallen down and I can't get up.
We're just...
Was it a...
We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, me neither.
Anyways...
Are we watching porn?
Yeah. Got my eye on you, son.
Yes, it is Inner Space. Look at this. You see them in the background?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, see? My childhood is so, like, warped. Taking punk MCs out, I'm all about my to-do list today. It's time to party out in here. No room to breathe.
I got my pen in my hand, so you best not sleep. No, I'm not a monster. Look, I'm the spot. Almost sounds like Gilbert Gottfried. The king at bar, so here's a match. My ass in your face. Listen when I
tell you, dog. Beastie Boys, I'm in your crawl space. That was a little remix.
Is Inner Space a good movie?
It's great.
Okay. Super totally fun. Remember.
Justine can't figure it out if it's good or not.
Well, a lot of them like were great to me because I was a kid.
It's hilarious. Martin Short, we're going to watch it.
Are we really?
Yeah, it's on our list.
Awesome. I get to relive this guy.
It's Joe Dante. Joe Dante's the director.
I hope she hates it.
No, she's going to love it.
She's going to despise that
She's going to be like, this was never good.
It's the same guy that directed Gremlins and The Howling and... Small Soldiers.
So, I'm so glad I figured that one out.
Small Soldiers? Mm-hmm. Is that different to Toy Soldiers?
Yeah, Small Soldiers.
Is it the one where it's like the action figures come to life?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Small Soldiers.
Okay, I was right. Okay.
Toy Soldiers is
different. Not
did you
thing.
Know some of our people are in that one?
Whoa.
Who's our people?
Filipinos?
Jake is not our people. Some of the voice actors. It is...
In what?
In Toy Soldiers. I was reading
Small
about
Soldiers.
It.
Small
oh,
Soldiers.
Small Soldiers.
Yeah, it's Borgnine and... I forgot who else is one of the Small Soldiers.
Because I remember looking at it, I'm like, oh my god, it has all our people that we've been watching, and they ran that.
What's that guy's... Filipinos? It's that iconic, like, drill sergeant dude's voice. Isn't he in there?
Yeah, David Cross.
David Cross.
Jay Moore.
Yeah, you go.
Dennis Leary.
Yeah, Dennis Leary.
I don't remember names.
Yep. Yeah, that's it.
Cool.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd like it watching it again as an adult, but
it holds up.
It does?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Phil Hartman?
We'll yeah. find out. Do you have Small Soldiers?
No.
Okay.
Tommy Lee Jones, Frank Langella, Ernest Borgnine, Jim Brown, Bruce Dern, George Kennedy, Clint Walker. Oh, that's what I just found out. Clint Walker was in another. You love Clint Walker. He was the big lovable guy in Dirty Dozen, the mm-hmm. guy that didn't want to fight. I just found out.
You mean Superman?
Well, let me tell you something. He made a movie with, of all people, a movie called, I think, None But the Brave.
Was it with Christopher Reeves?
I found it through Filmstruck.
Before or after the accident?
It's before before Dirty Dozen.
Jesus Christ, Patrick.
But I'm just going to plow through it.
I'm going to hell.
Believe it or not, you know who else is in this movie? So it's more of the Dirty Dozen meets Magnificent Seven. Mm. It's Brad Dexter, who was the gambler guy who wanted mm-hmm. the gold, mm-hmm. and Clint Walker. They're in this movie.
How much was my share?
With and guess who they're guess who the main character is?
Who?
Frank Sinatra. It's a World War II movie.
Get out of town.
That's it. It's called None But the Brave. Found it on Filmstruck.
Wasn't he in World War II?
He was not. He was singing.
Who was it?
He was singing. There's a lot of guys.
There's a lot of guys.
Charles Bronson, Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart, oh yeah.
Did Dean Martin? No, Dean Martin wasn't.
You want to go through a list of...
I feel like one of them was in the war.
Let's go through a list.
I know there's a huge list of actors and artists who are in the war.
Because everybody was in it. Well, remember Eli Wallach, you know, Tuco?
Mm-hmm.
He was a medic in World War II.
Oh.
There's 760, a list of 760 actors and actresses who fought in World War II.
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Let's go through a list of these real quick.
Name all of them.
All right. We have time.
Mm-hmm. Is it in alphabetical order?
Gene Hackman.
Really?
He lied to join the Marines. Let's see. Holy cow. There's just photos of him. Of a bunch of people. Hold on.
Did he lie about his age? Is that what it was?
He lied to say, yeah, he was 16 years old. Whoa. Oh, that's on Pinterest. I don't want to go on Pinterest. It's not going to help me.
Nope. You'll get nowhere.
I knew it!
What?
The girlfriend, young Frankenstein, is Phoebe's mom from Friends. Cherry Gar.
Fuebe.
She was on...
But seeing her young like that was, I just kept thinking, that's Phoebe's mom. He has no friends, Phoebe, her mom.
Who?
Oh, you mean Terry Garr?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Raymond Burr, who was the bad guy in Rear Window.
Ooh.
Caesar. I'm just going to name celebrities we've run into already.
In person?
Oh, these lists are all terrible. George Reeves. Not Christopher Reeves. Lee Van Cleef.
Really?
Was in the Navy.
Hey, sailor.
There you go. We got Scotty from Star Trek. Donald Pleasance, your boy. Justine. No? Nothing?
Yes, that's the cat guy.
He was shot down.
Oh.
Alan Ladd, who played Shane.
Oh, God. Damn.
Why didn't you guys like that movie? Peter Sellers, who we're going to see in Doctor Strangelove, if you haven't watched it yet. Red Skelton, who was stuck on the... No, that was Red Button. Sorry. There's a lot of them. I can't go through this whole list. Jimmy Stewart, I know. Those are the big ones. Jimmy Stewart, Clark Gable, Ted Williams, baseball player. There's a lot of guys. World War II. Don't forget to vote.
It was pretty big. Mm-hmm.
It was a big war. The biggest, some say. Some say
it was the one to end all wars.
No, that was World War I.
Oh, well, they didn't learn their lesson.
Nope. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to add? Watch any shows you're watching? Anything? Any movies? Anything you want to recommend that isn't going to make it to the Digital Movie Club?
Isn't going to make it to the Digital Movie Club?
Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out in October. Right around the corner. Anthem's right around the corner.
A movie I totally forgot about, but I think you'll enjoy, Justine especially. Well, I don't know if you would like it. It's a movie called The Cheyenne Social Club. It was made in the 70s. It is directed by Gene Kelly, who directed Singing in the Rain. It stars Henry Fonda.
Pass.
Our buddy Henry Fonda. You don't like Henry Fonda?
No. It's Singing in the Rain.
Henry Fonda and Jimmy Stewart play cowboys, aging cowboys. And Jimmy Stewart inherits a brothel.
Did you say?
From his dead brother. Not Asian, aging cowboy.
God, thank you.
Please listen.
I was like, or he said agent cowboys. I don't know.
That's it. That's it for this week. Okay, guys. What a great little show we put together. We don't really have anything in the way of news because I haven't been paying attention to pop culture this week. Been watching my Dodgers. We're only a half a game ahead with 4 games left to play. Oh, it's coming down to the wire, guys. Got the Giants this weekend. They could spoil it for us.
Lord willing.
Knock us out of the playoffs. Nope. Hopefully. Nope. Yes, sir.
I just realized Super Mario Party for the Switch comes out October 5th.
Are you pumped?
I'm so pumped.
You're more pumped about Super Mario Party or...
Yes.
More than Smash Bros?
Oh, no. Smash Bros all the way, but that doesn't come out till December, I think.
Smash Bros Triple X. What's it called? Smash Bros Super Duper?
Brawl?
Super Smash Bros Ultimate.
I think it might be like Avengers, Doom, Time Clock, something.
Okay, guys. Let's end with a little closing music for our friends at Shakedown Mambo. It's Rick Solemn.
Hey, Phil Block. Mambo.
Mambo Italiano.
There you go, Dean. Justine, anything else?
Fight the power.
Yeah, let's all fight the power. Let's stay brown. Okay? This transmission ends soon. It ends now.